A magnificent woman gave birth to the Christ. The woman was the people of God in various stages of manifestation. First as the nation of Israel, and then as the church. After bringing the Christ into the world, she fled into the wilderness. And there she became powerful and beautiful, decorating herself with good works. The Roman Empire tried to squash her, but she was like a stone cut out without hands out of a mountain that was thrown at the feet of a large image. Imagine this image having a head of gold, a chest of silver, a belly and thighs of bronze, and legs of iron and feet iron mixed with clay. And this stone, this small stone, is thrown at the feet of the statue. And it comes crashing down and it breaks in pieces. But in its place, this little stone becomes a large mountain that covers the whole earth. That little stone was representative of the woman. Her great power, influence, though, and beauty went to her head. And she became something that God never intended. As the Roman Empire once persecuted her people, she became like the Roman Empire after it fell and persecuted her own people. And she refused to repent of her sins. And so God prophesied of her destruction. This is what we've been seeing in Revelation chapter 17 and the chapters previous to that. Now, Revelation 18 shows her destruction. Even as previous chapters have spoken, she had been great, but the time of her end is coming. In Revelation 18 and verse 1, this chapter begins with these words. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. As I thought about how much we have seen in the first 17 chapters of the book of Revelation. And then here in verse 1 of chapter 18, John says, after these things, I saw another angel. It occurred to me how much God has been showing John on this one occasion. When you read the prophecies of Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah, and any of the other prophets, you are not simply reading of visions that happened all in one day, but occurred over many years, and even in the case of Daniel, over many decades, maybe as much as 7 decades. But when you read the book of Revelation, it's all coming to John, one right after another, on the same day. And here he said, another angel, yet another angel, came down out of heaven to the earth. And remember, the harlot of chapter 17 is on the earth. And she will fall, but by God's hand, not man's. Although God will use man, and we observed that last week. This angel had great authority, and he also had great glory because he illuminated the earth. picture what John saw. He saw this great angel descending out of heaven, and as he got closer to the earth, the light from this angel just lit up the earth more and more, the closer he got to the planet. And then he makes this announcement in verses 2 and 3. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. The 19th loud voice or sound announced the fall of Babylon. Spiritual Babylon was great, but with emphasis. It is repeated that Babylon is fallen. This had been announced back in chapter 14, verse 8. So we knew it was coming, because the Lord always keeps His promises. God gave John different visions of the same events over and over again. And here he said that spiritual Babylon will become a habitation of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Even as it was the case for ancient Babylon and Nineveh as well. The apostate church will fall greatly and become a stronghold for evil. Why? Well, the angel said, because all nations had drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings had committed fornication with her, and the merchants had become rich through her luxury. So the Roman apostate church had a worldwide influence, but it used it for self-glorification. Others joined in, though, because their economic prosperity was tied in with their allegiance to her. And then God gives this command in verses 4 and 5. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Another voice from heaven commands God's people to come out of spiritual Babylon. The harlot, Babylon the Great, is the apostate church that grew out of Rome and merged the teachings of Christ with the pagan Roman system. And God indicates here that He has people in that apostate church. Even as the Lord told Paul in Acts chapter 18, that He had people in the city of Corinth who were not yet His people. But they were going to be His people once they turned from their sin. So they were to come out of her here in Revelation 18, lest they share in her sins. They were to come out of her lest they partook of her plagues that God was putting upon her. Because her sins had reached to heaven. Not that they had finally reached God, but that they had piled up that high. And it was now at the point where God could no longer tolerate the existence of spiritual Babylon. Therefore, in verses 6 through 8, He said to render her as she had rendered. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow, and I will not see sorrow. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. In verse 6 there, he said, let her reap as she has sown. Because God renders back as one has rendered in life. And the rendering is double. According to Jeremiah 50, the same thing happened to ancient Babylon. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus showed us that we reap what we sow, but that we reap more than we sow. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And to you who hear, Jesus added, more will be given. You do evil, you'll receive evil. In fact, you'll receive more evil than you gave. You do good, and you'll receive good. But you'll receive more good than you ever did. In verse 7, notice how, back in Revelation 18, that this voice from heaven said that the degree of sorrow that she was to receive would match the degree of self-glorification. With the same degree and intensity with which she enjoys self-glorification and luxury, she will experience torment and sorrow. And the reason for this severe punishment is her threefold statement of self-deceived invincibility. Look, she said that she sat as queen, that she was not a widow, and that she would not experience sorrow. Well, you don't make a statement like that before God. Because God is greater than us. God is greater than all of us put together. And if we say, God, it's going to be this way, He'll show us that no, it's the way that He wants. Regardless of how powerful and strong we have become. And again, ancient Babylon had claimed the same things for itself. And that's found in Isaiah 47, verses 7 through 9. It's almost like this latter Babylon is imitating the previous one point by point. If you look in the Old Testament as to what was said about ancient Babylon, and then you look in Revelation about what was said of New Babylon, and they're almost identical. So, in Revelation 18:8, God showed her just how swift her judgment would be. Because she thought she was invincible, God says in one day, these things would happen rapidly in one day, just like ancient Babylon fell in one day. And she would suffer in proportion to her claim. Look at verse 7 again. You know, I'm not going to be a widow. I'm not going to experience sorrow. I'm a queen. And then here in verse 8 he says, oh, I'm going to change that. You're going to experience death. You will experience widowhood, or actually be dead yourself. You will experience mourning. You will see sorrow. And you will experience famine. Though you sit as a queen, you'll be like a peasant. See, God can change our circumstances just as fast as He wants. And of course, it can go the other way too. It's not just going from good to bad, but also from bad to good. And then he also said fire would be her end. And the reason is because the Lord is strong. Stronger than the great harlot. And He said He was going to do these things. Well, as a result, look at how people lamented. Verses 9 and 10. First of all, the kings. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. The kings of the earth will weep and lament for Babylon." Now here's a fascinating fact. The very kings who will lament the fall of Babylon, which is the great harlot of chapter 17, are the very ones who turned on her and destroyed her. Let me read to you again, chapter 17, verses 16 and 17. An angel told John about the beast that he saw the woman sitting upon. "And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill His purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled." This is a great paradox. Why did the kings commit fornication with her and then hate and even destroy her and then wail about her destruction? Love quickly turns to hate and sometimes back to love again when it is not the love of God. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, there was an interesting story in the family of David. He had a son by the name of Ammon who loved his half-sister Tamar. So much so that the Bible says he was literally sick over the matter. And later, he forced himself upon her. And then, verse 15 records this amazing turn of events. 2 Samuel 13, 15 says this, "Then Ammon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Ammon said to her, 'Arise, be gone, get out of here, I don't want to see you anymore.'" Well, the lament of the kings is the same way toward the harlot. They loved her, but they hated her. They couldn't live with her, and they couldn't live without her. So the lament of the kings of the earth is a selfish lament. In her burning, they see their prosperity and pleasure disappearing. Now, the next section of chapter 18 here, verses 11 through 19, will show us how the merchants of the earth respond to this. First of all, they couldn't sell, verses 11 through 13. "And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and silk, purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men." The great harlot influences the economy of the world. Therefore, when she falls, the merchants are distressed. These merchants, their merchandise was both of luxurious items and necessities. Their merchandise was also the bodies of men, because they enslaved people. And it was also of the souls of men, because spiritual Babylon enslaved people spiritually, claiming to deal with people's souls, claiming to have power over people's souls, and claiming to determine who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. In verse 14, it tells about the losses of Babylon. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you. And all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. She was not able, she will not be able, to find the things that her soul desires. Look at verses 15 to 17, the shock of the merchants. The merchants of these things, who became rich by her, will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great things came to nothing." The merchants of the earth will be like the kings of the earth, because the torment of the kings is the torment of the merchants. And it continues. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "Who is like this great city?" They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she is made desolate." Shipmasters and sailors will be like the merchants and the kings of the earth, because the torment of the merchants, and the kings is the torment of the shipmasters and the sailors. But look how heaven responds. Verse 20. "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets," in other words, you preachers, "for God has avenged you on her." Rejoice, heaven. Rejoice, holy apostles and prophets. Spiritual Babylon perverted your words, but the great perverter of Christianity will be destroyed. "God has avenged you on her," he said. "Any who were so bold as to oppose her paid for it with their lives." Last week, I encouraged you to read Fox's Book of Martyrs, if you never have before. I want to encourage you to do it again. And I started to read it this week. Wow. The things you will read in there are incredible. I mean, heads were literally rolling. Heads were being beheaded all the time. Crucifixions were taking place. I read of one woman who had boiling pitch poured over her head, and then they lit it on fire. Another woman, they stripped naked and put her on hot coals that had been mixed with glass. And somehow she managed to survive that. They took her to prison, and I think she died the next day or two later. Another man by the name of Julian of Sicilia. Sicilia? I meant Sicily. Thinking of one of our sisters here. They took him and put him in a leather bag with venomous snakes and scorpions, tied it and threw it into the sea. You can go on and on with reading these things of history, things that happened to our brothers and sisters. So, obviously, when the Great One, the great empire that caused these things to happen, when it comes down, heaven's to rejoice. Those people up there are to rejoice, and here's why. They've been asking for this to happen. Many times already, I've given you Revelation chapter 6. At the opening of the fifth seal, verses 9 and 10, the Bible tells us about the souls in heaven who had lost their lives because of opposing the beast. And here's what it said in Revelation 6, 9, and 10. "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth. And remember, I've told you, the book of Revelation is an answer to that prayer there. If you want to know what is the key, what's the theme of the book of Revelation, I think it's Revelation 6, 9, and 10, along with Revelation 11, 15. There's an important connection there. God's bringing down those who have opposed His people, and so they should rejoice. And in chapter 18, it happens. Although it's future to us. Now look at verse 21, the violent overthrow of Babylon. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. See a great stone used for crushing grain. And here this mighty angel picks it up and throws it into the sea. And you know, the moment it hits the surface, it's down. And you don't see it again. And so with violence, the Babylon being spoken about here would be thrown down. The result would be catastrophic, so that Babylon would be found no more, even as a millstone sinks quickly and is out of sight. Jeremiah, interestingly, foretold the same fate for the first Babylon in Jeremiah 51. Look at the devastation of Babylon. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be heard in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. The sounds of joy will not be heard in Babylon. She will experience total destruction. And so the chapter ends with these words. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth. Babylon's merchants were the great men of the earth. Babylon's economy was great, but the economy could not save Babylon. When God brings down a nation or an apostate church, it falls regardless of its strength. Babylon's sorcery deceived all the nations of the earth. She made the nations or the kings think that she was something that she was not. And so it was announced that her blood guiltiness is great. She killed prophets. She killed saints. She killed anyone who opposed her. And he who wants to hurt God's people really needs to think about what we've looked at today. Because God does not take that lightly. Our hope, therefore, does not rest upon an apostate church or the religious systems of the world, upon the kings of the earth or the political systems of the world, or with the merchants of the earth, her economic systems. No, our hope is with the one who can bring down any beast, as great as it is, like the ones we've seen in Revelation, who oppose him. Our faith, our hope, is in the Lord God. Make Jesus Christ your hope today. Believe in Him with all your heart that Jesus is Lord. And you know something? He wants you to turn your life around. And He wants to hear you confess what you believe about Him. And if you're at that point, you are then ready to be born again by being baptized in water. Are you prepared to meet this great God that we speak about? Are you inside or outside of the church? Jesus wants you to trust Him. But He also wants you to do what you can by obeying Him. Do you need to obey Him this morning? If so, come forward right now as we stand and sing.